Good afternoon and welcome to this week's Gnostic Radio program. We are happy to have you join us today. So you're with myself, Diana, and Armando working in the background. So today I'm going to be talking about Gnosis and the four pillars. So in case you're tuning in for the first time, Gnosis is originally a Greek word meaning knowledge, but a particular type of knowledge related to the mysteries of life. Hence related to knowing ourselves. It encompasses understanding our psychology. And as we will mention today, we can learn and expand this knowledge through the four pillars or streams of learning through philosophy, art, science, and mysticism. So on this program, we want to increase awareness of this Gnostic type of knowledge, because a lot of people confuse Gnosis with agnostic. Gnosis is spelt G-N-O-S-I-S. And agnostic, in essence, is the opposite of Gnosis. A Gnostic is one who believes that the knowledge of life and all aspects of life, all aspects of our being, whether that's physical, psychological, or spiritual, all of these can be experienced and known directly, not just through a book, not through a teacher, but a true, direct, and intimate self-realization or self-revelation. An agnostic, on the other hand, believes the opposite, that the mysteries of life and the afterlife, the existence of a god or gods, so whether they exist or not, this cannot be known. It cannot be determined. So this is why they're often known as fence sitters, not having a belief either way. A theist, on the other hand, believes definitively that a god exists, whilst an atheist concretely believes a higher being does not exist. And in most cases, after we die, we just become compost in the earth. So regardless of whatever you may or may not how you may or may not categorize yourself, I'm sure you'll find something useful in this show, because Gnosis and the Gnostic teachings, at the very least, can help us to make sense of consciousness and the reality that we find ourselves in. So we've all already started to delve into the pillar of philosophy. The Latin roots of the word translate to a love of wisdom or a love of Sophia. Sophia being that spark of our soul, or what we call our essence, that holds a truth. This truth is within us in potential. It's just in a sleeping state. We need to reawaken this truth. So it's this love of wisdom that starts us thinking. It starts us asking questions about our life and the reality we are in. We may want to know what our life is about. Is there any deeper meaning or significance beyond eating, drinking, working, sleeping, and procreating? For a lot of people, this is it. And this meaning is enough. But if you're listening to this show, you can probably make a safe assumption that your spark of essence is screaming to you. It's shouting out, hey, there's got to be something else. Well, there is, and there is hope. So philosophy is a great place to start, to get us asking these questions, investigating. But we can also get stuck in this pillar. We can get stuck philosophizing about life, about death, and just get stuck in beliefs. So this love of wisdom we acquire through books, mainly, theories, analysis. You know, we can have friends that we can talk about these things with. We can go to university and study philosophy. And we can also do a lot of speculating about the truth and also about things like life after death, because until we have experienced that consciously, it will still be a belief. So we get easily trapped in beliefs and ideas. At the very best, philosophy should help us learn how to think, not what to think, which is quite a difference. So to develop our ability to think matters through, to develop a discernment and to be able to filter all this through our inner consciousness. Our inner consciousness, which knows a lot more than we allow it to. We're more trusting of externally received information for some reason. So the next pillar I want to go through is the pillar of art. And it's a really important pillar. Part of its role is to help us to develop our emotional centre. There is nothing that can lift or change our mood than a nice piece of music or a movie or even appreciating the art in nature. You know, the trees, the stars at night. Even when you look at a cell, understand what happens at the cellular level. There's a beauty there, an order that exists in nature. So there are two main forms of art we can talk about. The subjective art forms of the conditioned essence and the objective art or the regal art of nature that reflects the wisdom of the universe. Of course, it's the regal art of nature that helps us to connect with the universal principles of the Gnostic knowledge. We have the sacred architecture of the pyramids of Egypt, the pyramids in Mexico, and the architecture of cathedrals, just to name a few, are all designed with a specific purpose to be able to help us to connect with the most elevated principles of the universe and of creation. There's also art in the music of the masters. You know, commonly we use the examples of Beethoven, Mozart, Wagner, Liszt, who through their consciousness, through their being, were able to express these universal truths and to transmit them through their musical works. There are also other masters, unnamed, who in other countries, in other cultures, who were also able to transmit this through masterpieces that may not be as familiar but still, you know, exist out there. So the truths expressed through these art forms are timeless, and even stories and myths encode a lot of truths that are able to exist through the ages. Subjective art is an interesting point of discussion. We are all artists when we define art as a pursuit of beauty. We all have a beauty within, whether we know it or not, or whether we know how to express this. The most common ways that we see as an artist, you know, could be through painting, drawing, poetry, music. But there are other ways we can pursue beauty, and there are other ways we can express this beauty or this truth that is in our essence. We can express this in a life lived well, in simplicity, living in truth, and living in harmony with our surroundings. So speaking of art, we are going to go to a music track by one of my favourite composers, Chopin, a compilation called Chill with Chopin. It's track number 8, called Prelude in D flat major. So it's a beautiful track. Hate to cut it short. So that was Chopin, Prelude in D flat major, the Chill with Chopin compilation. Hope you're feeling chilled in the relaxed sense, not in the cold sense. So continuing on with our topic, Gnosis and the Four Pillars, I've been talking about the importance of art, most importantly, because art allows us to connect very naturally with our emotions. And this helps us to bring closer to the knowledge of our consciousness, where our truth and knowledge lies. The emotions are not technically our consciousness, but they help us to, you know, separate from the trap that the mind can get us into, and hopefully to connect with a superior emotion that brings us closer to the highest parts of our being. So now moving on to the pillar of science. And science is about knowledge that we gain through experimentation. Materialistic science is knowledge, you could say, that we obtain in a laboratory using the five physical senses. So anything that can measure and improve using those senses is something of a materialistic nature. So the science we want to talk about in regards to gnosis is the pure science, the universal science, that's not limited to the five senses and the three physical dimensions, but to all of the other dimensions, all the seven dimensions, to be able to experiment and to experience these directly. So, you know, one of the main tools that we use is the science of meditation to be able to experience these ultra dimensions that exist there in the background. But as we've lost our sensitivity to these dimensions, we think they don't exist. And unfortunately, we don't have the equipment yet to measure these dimensions. Therefore, well, at least in materialistic science, these things don't exist. What we need is to develop a laboratory within ourself, within our being. We need to be the subject of our study and the object of our study, you know, to be our own experiment, to be able to study the self, to study the psychology, which is, you know, if you look at its Latin meaning, is the study of the psyche or study of the soul. We reach our psyche, we reach our soul by studying the mind or the psychology or what we know as the egos, the multitude of eyes within us. So not only this, we want to study those esoteric parts, as I mentioned, the other dimensions, the other parts of our being, that which currently is yet to be known. In our inner laboratory, we hope to transmute the lead of the personality into the gold of spirit. So as the ancient alchemists, used those symbols to as a way to understand that process of transformation that helps us to transform that gross matter that we are into a more sublime, subtle form of energy that can exist and connect with these universal truths, these dimensions that are staring us right in the face, but because of our materialistic way of thinking, we miss it. We don't see it. We've lost that sensitivity to it in society. We have just become, and we're becoming more desensitized to these perceptions, to these dimensions within. Through the consciousness, we are able to develop the faculty of self-observation, so in understanding our psychology. Our self-observation goes hand in hand with self-remembering. Self-remembering is said to be a very tricky matter, to be able to see ourselves in daily life, walking, talking, working with our family, friends, all the while to observe our psychological state, but in a scientific way, not a moralistic way. We can become very moral, get caught in right and wrong, good and bad. Am I doing good or am I doing not so good? And then we miss the observation because we are forming a judgment. So So the last pillar that we have to talk about is the mysticism. So we could also call this the pillar of religion. And religion, if we look at its Latin meaning or roots, is to relink with God or with our being. But in this day and age, we confuse the principles behind religions with the many different religious forms that exist, with the different organizations. You know, there's always so many different forms. You know, even within Christianity, there's a lot of different sects of Christianity. And then the pure mysticism, it gets distorted or it gets, you know, judged or associated with the form, with particular forms. And then, you know, because we all still have ego, the religious forms is a reflection of, you know, the participants, and therefore if there's still ego, then this reflects on the forms that are presenting, which are purely the channel of the mysteries of mysticism and universal truths of Gnosis. Mysticism, I like to think of, is that which is a mystery. And if we are honest with ourselves, we'll see that there is a lot that is a mystery. There's a lot in life that we don't know, a lot that, you know, that we are yet to know. And we learn that as a Gnostic that we can know these mysteries. It's not so far from us. It's closer than we think. So beyond any organization, Gnostic or otherwise, truth is truth. And the knowledge that we yearn for is a universal truth. It's perennial. It exists through all ages, all times, all cultures. It existed pre-humans. It'll exist post-humans. And it is available for everyone without distinction. So the master Samael Onvior, who helped to start the modern Gnostic movement, he wrote that all religions are like precious pearls on the thread of divinity. And I really like that, because he's also said to be the master of synthesis. If you read his works, you'll see that he's used teachings from other places, and this is fine because there is truth everywhere. There is truth, there is a Gnosis that is found within, exclusively within each of these four pillars that we were talking about. We can reach truth through any one of them, but the most balanced approach, the most you know, synthetic way of understanding knowledge is by the combination of all of these pillars. We are most balanced when we've developed our inner philosopher. We have developed the capacity to know how to think, to be able to think things through, to, you know, not just rely on the thoughts of others or the thoughts that exist in our society, to develop that autonomy, that the capacity to think and discern from the core of our being. And then we need to develop that inner artist, the artist that knows how to appreciate beauty in life, but also knows how to express this beauty, but in an ethical way. So an ethical way is that which is true to ourself, true to our being, trying to connect with that objective beauty that exists and express that in a way that is going to be helpful to society, to our fellow man, because to be a part of society and connected in that way is, you know, one of the most rewarding feelings of connection. So also we need to develop our inner scientist to to learn how to experiment, to know how to try things out, to know how to investigate, to observe ourselves, to not just, you know, accept things as they are, to try them out, to try out meditation, to learn from our dreams. If we are, you know, if we dream a lot, we go into the astral world, there's a lot of things that we can learn. So, you know, not to just wake up in the morning and disregard, you know, everything that we're being shown in this in the screen of our subconscious. In a way, it's directly staring in our subconscious. You know, so as a scientist, to be able to create hypotheses and to prove them or disprove them. You know, often it's going to be disproving them again and again, but at least, you know, we're getting closer to the truth by knowing what is not the truth. And then we develop the inner mystic, who is always in amazement at the beauty of creation and how much it is we don't know. I really like a saying, I say it often from the poet Rumi. It says, sell your knowledge and buy bewilderment. So this is what we need to do, to not just focus on the things that, you know, that we assume to be true, that we assume to know about ourselves, about other people, to try and see beyond these preconceived concepts and judgments of ourselves, of life, and to allow ourselves to be amazed, to develop the mystic within us that's after the mysteries. So all of these things help us to become balanced. And from this point of view, we can really embrace the Gnostic mysteries or the mysteries of life, you know, in a balanced way, unifying and not just segregating. So I know we have tendencies to put each of these pillars in separate corners, but we are at the best we can be through integrating these pillars and this information. So that's all we have time for today. Thank you for listening in on the program. We will be back next Tuesday, and we hope to have you join us then. Okay, good afternoon.